So this morning, kind of what I'd like to talk about, I'm going to do the series on the seven baptisms. Kids, you're dismissed to Sunday school. We're going to look at baptism, very controversial subject, different varying views from different denominations. In fact, the Bible talks about seven different baptisms, yet it says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So we're going to look at that and try to figure out what that's all about. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, and verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Now, sometimes those Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians are sometimes hard to find, figure out which one's first. I always had the little trick that I use, General Electric Power Company. That's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I had all kinds of games in school to try to come up with remembering orders on things. So, Ephesians 4 and verse 1, the Bible says this, the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Wow. So here in this passage, Paul writing to New Testament Christians, in this age, he said in verse 3 to 5, he said there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. And yet when you go down through Scripture, you'll find seven baptisms. What's that all about? And you'd think with all the controversy there is about baptism, you wouldn't think people would get so confused about it when the Bible says there's just one. Hang in there with me. Don't leave me now. And yet, baptism really is one of the most controversial subjects within the church that you can talk about. Probably more varieties and types of baptism, more disagreement on baptism than probably any other subject in the Word of God. And the reason for that is because when you dig down through the Bible, you'll find seven different baptisms. Paul says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Then the Bible says there's seven of them. So there's more confusion about that than anything probably that you'll find in the Word of God. So we're going to look at the seven baptisms and what they are and what they aren't. Now, some folks center their whole doctrinal theology around baptism when the Bible shows seven different ones. The name of Baptist we have on our church out here, you think that we're real big on baptism. Well, we believe that there's one true baptism. And the other six that are listed are pictures and types of the one which is true. Baptists have stood on three things. Since time immemorial, Baptists have stood on the eternal security of the believer, that we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. We believe that. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We believe in separation between church and state. That's also scripture. We don't have much to do with the state interfering with our church. We don't take money from the state for this fund or that fund. We're separate. And true Baptists believe there's nothing really magic or mystical about water baptism. We're going to baptize a couple folks today. But the Bible teaches that there is a true baptism, and the others mentioned are pictures or types of that which is true. Now, going back through history, the word Baptist came from the term Anabaptist. The early church were called Anabaptist. And a lot of times they were referred to as anti-pedo Baptists. They were against, early church was against infant baptism. The folks were coming up with this baptizing a baby. Well, that baby don't know good from evil. That baby don't have any knowledge of good and evil, so we don't baptize that baby, and we don't feel that it has. There's no effect in baptizing that baby. We'll dedicate a baby like Hannah did Samuel, but we don't baptize babies. We wait till they come up to that knowledge to know good and evil. Before they reach that age to know good and evil, they're as safe as anybody. They go directly to heaven to be with God, according to Deuteronomy 1:39. Said, your little ones and your children, which he said in that day shall be a prey, they shall go in, talking about the promised land, a picture of heaven. They shall go in and possess it, and I will give it to them. For in that day they had no knowledge between good and evil. I'm not talking about right and wrong. A three-year-old can know right and wrong. You tell that three-year-old not to do something, and that boy or that girl will do it anyway and look at you and know that they did wrong. But it's not until much older age that they understand that disobeying mom and dad is also a sin against God. There's a difference between right and wrong and good and evil. A child, before he reaches that age or she reaches that age, is in the same state of innocence that Adam and Eve were before the fall. That state of innocence, to have no knowledge between good and evil. Been doing some interesting reading on some scriptural things about allowing your child to have that knowledge of evil. God never intended Adam and Eve to have the knowledge of evil. You don't have to have the knowledge of evil. He said, abstain from all those things that are evil. Yet we think, well, that child needs to know about that stuff, culture. The Bible don't say that. In fact, when Adam and Eve sinned, it's at that point they gained the knowledge of good and evil. Interesting study. Bible says, flee from fornication. List a whole bunch of things you flee from. It's not necessary to have that knowledge of evil. If you have knowledge of the Lord and His holiness, you will automatically recognize when something is out of line with God. You don't have to be taught that this is wrong and that is wrong and that is wrong. If you've got the knowledge of God and what God says to think on, what God says to you, you will know. Your conscience and the Holy Spirit bearing witness will let you know that that's contrary to God. And God gives in Scripture a list of those things, those sinful things. Over in Exodus chapter 18, He gives a complete list of fornication, if you want to know what it is. And so you got to be careful about that stuff. But an Anabaptist was a person that believed in baptizing folks over and over again because their infant baptism didn't do them any good, and they were called anti-pedo Baptist. And a lot of the early controversy among Catholics and Protestants and Baptists was over infant baptism. One of the text verses that we use to baptize someone is the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip pulls up next to that Ethiopian eunuch. There, he's in a chariot and he's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip preached to him, took the book, preached Jesus to him from that chapter. And that Ethiopian eunuch got saved, just got saved. And then they leave that place and they're riding along and they come to, it says, much water, a place where there was a lot of water. It don't take a lot of water to sprinkle somebody, but the place they went to was, there was much water. Much water. And the Ethiopian guy says, hey, what hinders me now to be baptized? What doth hinder me to be baptized? And you know what Philip told him? He said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. The only qualification that Philip, the apostle Philip, gave was the fact that he believed. He got saved. Many churches baptize the same day. They'll keep the big churches. Many of them will have that baptistry full all the time. And if someone gets saved that morning, they put them in a baptismal robe and they baptize them the same day. If they believe in Christ, if they come to that saving knowledge, profess faith, then they're a candidate for baptism. Not like the Old Testament where John would say, bring fruits, meat for repentance. This side of the cross, it's whoever believes. If you believe with thy whole heart, thou mayest, with all thy heart. So we look to Scripture and find that you can't, you just don't find anywhere in the Bible where anyone was ever baptized as a baby. You don't find it one time. I guess the nearest thing to that would be there's a baptism referred to as where the people were baptized. Israel was baptized unto Moses in the sea. I guess if you had an infant baptism, it might be those kids going across the Red Sea when God parted the waters. In fact, the Lord referred to that as a baptism. You won't find Jews under the Old Testament getting baptized when they were babies. You just don't see it in Scripture. We have a tendency to come up with a lot of stuff that isn't in Scripture, but we think that it makes sense to it, so let's do it. Well, watch out for that. You read about babies getting circumcised, but when John the Baptist was down there in Jordan and he said, bring fruits, meat for repentance, he wasn't baptizing babies. No infant baptism in Matthew, none in Mark, none in Luke, and none in John. None in the book of Acts or anywhere else. No infant baptism. And it's my understanding that some of the denominations that baptize infants, it's a Calvinistic doctrine. It's where John Calvin taught that everything's cut and dried. You don't have any say-so. You're either predestined to be saved or be lost. And they figure, well, we'll just baptize them now because they're going to get saved anyway. That's some of the logic behind some of those denominations. But Philip asked this guy, said, thou mayest if thou believest with all thy heart. So when someone asks to be baptized, I make sure I go through their salvation, make sure they're saved, that they're believers. And that qualifies them as a candidate for salvation, or for baptism, rather. But you can't baptize anybody today without getting into some kind of controversy about it. You know, that's just kind of how it is. Folks believe in infant baptism. Some folks don't. Some folks believe in sprinkling. Some believe in immersion. We believe, and we'll show you from Scripture. You remember when the Lord got baptized, he came straightway up out of the water. That's not being sprinkled. We just kind of try to get as close. I'm going to grab a bottle of water back. We try to get as close to Scripture as we can on this stuff and just do it how God says to do it, or the example that he said on how we should do it. Not try to come up with a bunch of rigmaroles outside of the Word of God. And folks have a tendency to do that. Now some brethren groups, the brethren churches, some of those push them forward in the water instead of backward. They'll baptize you to push you down that way. Some push them forward three times. I mean, there's a lot of different ways people do this stuff now. They'll push them forward three times. They'll do it in the name of the Father once, in the name of the Son twice, in the name of the Holy Ghost three times. That's some of the brethren groups. And I read here, I've got written down where they used to do that down south, and said said some of those black churches, those folks would say something every time they come out of the water. One of them, a lady, they baptized her, and the first time under she come, she said, glory to God. Then the second time she come up from the water, she said, hallelujah. Said the third time they dunked her down, she come up and she said, Merry Christmas. So a lot of controversy, a lot of differences in baptism. Folks argue, whether, like I said, whether sprinkling, immersion, backwards, forwards, controversy. Always going to be some controversy. Preacher said one time, all you folks want to get washed white as snow, stand up. And said just about everybody stood up except one fella. And the preacher said, Brother Jones, don't you want to get washed white as snow? And he said, well, I've already been washed white as snow. And he said, well, where do you get washed white as snow? He said, well, over there in the Methodist church. He said, you ain't been washed. You've been dry cleaned. I think it's okay to make fun of one another. There's probably Methodists making fun of Baptists. It's okay with me. I never take myself too seriously. Take the Word of God seriously, and that's what we're looking at. But some folks look at it that way. A lot of disagreement about baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, you'll read about a water baptism before John the Baptist was ever born. As a matter of fact, this water baptism in 1 Corinthians 10 was 1,400 years before John the Baptist ever showed up. I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Remember the crossing of the Red Sea. And were all baptized. There it is. Our fathers under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So when the children of, you see here the children of Israel, they came up out of Egypt, they went down through those waters, and those waters curled up, and they crossed over to the other side on dry land. Now that's a baptism of Israel. Is that the one? The Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Is that one it? Now that baptism was neither sprinkling nor by immersion, but that's called a baptism over there in 1 Corinthians 10. Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, if there's one baptism, yeah, is that it? One man says, no, that can't be it. Another one says, well, why not? The man said, well, because that's Old Testament. Well, they were under grace. They hadn't got the law yet. It was before the law. They were under the blood of the Lamb, weren't they? Under grace, coming out of the world. But that isn't the one baptism. When the Lord says here, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, it must mean that there is one true one and the others are pictures and types of that which are the true one. Is that starting to make sense to you? When we baptize, here the Bible talks about water baptism. It's a first step of obedience for a believer to identify with a church. And it says, in like figure. It's a figure of what happened the moment you trusted Jesus Christ. Buried with him in baptism. Raised again in the newness of life. You identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says, there be gods many and lords many. There are many faiths, but to the Christians there is just one Lord, one God, one faith, one spirit, one baptism. And in plainer words, he says one baptism. He means there's got to be just one effectual one that is true, and the others point to it, picture it. I think there's a lot of things with the water that pictures being reconciled to God through the waters. A serious Bible student will find that it appears there's water between us and the third heaven. Psalms 104 gives you a Star Trek account of God placing the beams of his chambers in the waters. It's sort of like, beam me aboard, Scotty. It said God, and the context is travel, who clothes himself, Psalms 104, who clothes himself with light as with a garment. Remember folks seeing that tunnel of light? Near-death experiences? God who clothes himself with light as with a garment, who places the beams of his chambers in the waters. The Bible says God who is above all waters. It's the third heaven. You got the heaven where we're at, our atmosphere. Then we got the heavenlies, outer space. And then above that, that's the second heaven. And above that, gulf of water. Remember in the beginning, God divided the waters from the waters. And when he divided the waters from the water, he brought forth this firmament of earth. Now, I'm getting some deep theological stuff. I'm not going to stay there. But there's a verse that said, when thou passest through the waters, I am with thee. My, my, my. You know what baptism pictures? Being reconciled to God through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When they pierced our Lord's side, two things came out of his side, water and blood. I don't understand all that. Pretty interesting, isn't it? My, my, my. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You were asked, hey, you asked the, wait, let me look here. 1 Corinthians 10:3 and 4, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You notice in the context of this baptism of Israel that there was a spiritual connotation to it, and that spiritual rock was in Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One real one, one true one. If you go ask the average Baptist what it is, he'd probably tell you water baptism. But you got to be careful, because Scripture will show you that water baptism is a picture of the real baptism and has the same connotation as the baptism of Israel, and that connotation is a spiritual baptism of Jesus Christ. Well, you get kind of quiet talking about this stuff. Old black preacher once said, well, how many wants to join the Lord's army? And a fellow stood up around the church. Everybody stood up. One brother said, I already joined the Lord's army. And the pastor said, well, where do you join? He said, down there at the Church of Christ. He said, child, you ain't in the Lord's army. You're in the Lord's navy. And I'm saying that just to have a little fun. I think anybody who trusts Jesus Christ for salvation, the moment that heart, repentant heart, turns to God, they're saved. They're sealed to the day of redemption. If they're taught that water baptism completes that, the mechanics of water baptism completes that, if they're already saved, it don't matter what they believe after that. We get real technical on everybody has to believe exactly like what you got to believe. You come to Christ with a repentant heart and call out for salvation to get saved. All right, we understand that. I think we're going to run into a lot of folks in heaven we thought wouldn't be there because of their denomination. A lot of those folks got saved in spite of their denomination, what their denomination teaches. Next baptism that shows up is John's baptism. My. Now, Naaman went down into the water and was baptized, but Naaman baptized himself, and he went there to heal the flesh, and that's a little different kind of baptism. And the baptism here I'm going to talk about has to do with spiritual things, with getting right, just like the one with Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And John the Baptist shows up there on the shores of the Jordan, and he baptized them. In Matthew 3:11, he says this. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, he said. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Wow. John baptizes with water. You have the baptism of the Israel. That's one. John baptizing with water, but there comes one after me. Jesus Christ baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's four baptisms already. Guess which one's a true one so far? Can you guess? It's the one the Lord Jesus Christ does, and that's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual baptism, a spiritual operation of God. My. Look out now. My. The next day, John seeth, he shall baptize the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we'll look at that. But notice John 1:31. John says, I'm coming to baptize. Why? That he, talking about Jesus, might be made manifest to whom? To Israel. John told them that the purpose of John's baptism was to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. Here's why I'm baptizing, to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. That was the purpose of John's baptism down there. Point people toward Jesus Christ. John 1:29-33. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. And he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Wow. Sometimes that Holy Ghost word makes a few Baptists nervous. John the Baptist said he came baptizing for the purpose of manifesting Christ to Israel. You're not Israel. John's baptism is a water baptism, manifest Christ to Israel. And John the Baptist's baptism is not a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist's baptism is a picture of the death and the burial of a sinner dying under the wrath of God and telling that sinner that Jesus Christ has come to take his place. When Christ comes down there, John says this. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus said, suffer it to be so. Now, said, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, the Bible said Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. He comes there to John and said, go ahead and baptize me that we might fulfill the righteousness of the law. He said, I'm here with the sinners. Everything that a sinner would do, I'm going to do. Didn't say he was a sinner. But he was doing everything that was required to fulfill the law for those Jews. Now, when those transgressors, where were the transgressors in Matthew 3? They were down by the river confessing their sins. So Jesus shows up there down by the river. John says, what are you doing here? I'm with the sinners. John said, well, you're no sinner. I need you to baptize me. Jesus said, never mind. I'm going to fulfill all righteousness. I've got to do what a sinner would do. Then he goes down, he gets baptized in my place. He went under for me. If I'm in Christ, I've already been down under the river and I've been back up again. Matthew 20:22, Jesus is talking to James and John, and he says, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, watch it, and to be baptized with a baptism that I am to be baptized with? Another baptism. Is that five or six? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my right or on my left is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom the Father has prepared it. That's another baptism. That's a baptism of death. The Lord is talking about his coming crucifixion. Are you able to be baptized with a baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? And then he says, well, I guess you will, because those fellows ended up, some of them getting crucified also and killed. That's a baptism of death, another baptism. Jesus speaks these words. He's already been baptized in water. Couldn't be any reference there to being baptized in water, because this is Matthew 20. The Lord Christ is on his way to the cross, and it's been years since he was baptized. In fact, the final words in his ministry, the final discourse, takes place in the next couple chapters. He's on the way to the cross. His ministry is over, and he says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'm to be baptized with? Referring to his death on Calvary's cross. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, back in the Old Testament, when David spoke of suffering, he spoke about lying in the deeps. You remember that? And he spoke about the wrath of God going over him. And when Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What's happening? Jesus Christ is the Paschal Lamb. He's the Passover Lamb. He was willingly taking the wrath of God in my place. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That Passover lamb back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, was told to be kept up by the congregation of Israel until the 14th day of the month. 14th day of the first month, and then the whole congregation of Israel was to kill it in the evening. First month on the Jewish calendar is like a late March or April, in that neighborhood. He said in Exodus 12 to take the Passover lamb and don't sodden it with water. Don't put any water on it. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, I thirst. What's happening here? The Father has left the Son to his own will to take on the sin of the world. Jesus made that decision as a man also to willingly die in our place. The Lamb has taken the torment that you and I should have taken under the wrath of God. And in the Old Testament, that's not only pictured as fire, it's pictured as the deep waters and the waters. He said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What's that about? You know what happens at the judgment seat of Christ? You know who the judge is at the judgment seat of Christ? Jesus Christ. He says, every man's work shall be tried, yet so as by fire. Who's doing that? Jesus Christ is doing that. He's trying a man's work, and the works that weren't for his glory, the works that are wood, hay, and stubble, they'll burn up. They won't stand that baptism. That's one of the things that pictures. There's probably some other things. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. Lover and friend, thou hast put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. David and Jonah were speaking about the wrath of God. Remember, the Lord said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. When God drowned out this world in there in the Old Testament, his wrath on unbelieving men and sin, they all drowned and he put them under the water. When this dying lamb came down, he came down through the universe. He passed through the waters that separated us between the universe and the third heaven. And the Lamb of God comes down through that water and he takes the wrath of God and goes back up. So when he dies on Calvary's cross, he calls it a baptism. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. So then they're going to experience death and suffering. And according to most Christian historians, James and Peter are both martyred. And there's pretty good evidence that John was probably martyred too. So Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that's a baptism of death. Now turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, we'll see how you fit into that baptism. It says in Romans 6 and verse 3, it says that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Some teach that when you're baptized in water that you're put into Jesus Christ. But the scripture says God is a spirit. Spirit connotation. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The water can't do that. There's a spiritual baptism that places a believer in the body of Christ. And what placed you in the body of Christ was the spiritual operation of God by Jesus Christ. My. That make any sense to you? Now we're going to look at the others. We're going to look at the spiritual operation of God that takes place. Seven baptisms. And yet the Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Baptism of Moses, the children of Israel, unto Moses in a cloud and in the sea unto Moses. That's a baptism, the Bible says. Then you got the baptism of John there to manifest Christ to Israel. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. That's water baptism. But he that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not able to unlatch, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. My, there's two more. So we've got four baptisms already mentioned there. And then we'll look at Peter. Over there in Acts 2, this is following the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Jews had just crucified their Messiah. It says, and there were gathered together many devout men of Israel, many Jews, and the Jews scattered abroad. They were all there at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, Jews, the whole context is Jewish. And they said, what do we do now that we've crucified our Messiah? And the Lord said, Peter preached, said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Peter preaching to the Jews following their crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's not like the man falling down in Acts 16:31, that Philippian jailer falling down on his face and said, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" That's not what Peter was talking about. They needed to repent. They needed to repent and believe the gospel. They needed to get on board with Jesus Christ. My, my, my. And then we'll see that spiritual operation of God over in Colossians chapter 2. My, my, my. Where God cuts that body of flesh, a spiritual operation of God. Cuts that soul and spirit loose from that body of flesh. And they said it's a spiritual operation. My, my, my. Interesting. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, yet the Bible shows you seven of them. So the only thing that I can see that it can mean is there's one true one. There's one effectual that places you in Jesus Christ. And the other six are pictures or types of the one baptism, which is true. Today we're going to baptize a couple folks, and they're going to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're going to identify as believers. It's a public profession of faith that, yeah, I'm with him. I'm with the church. Doug Rogers set a ladder up here. I think I'm not going to go through that part. Got on that step and said, you got step one, you trust Jesus Christ. For salvation, step two, you follow in believer's baptism. Many times we call it believer's baptism. A lot of controversy. I'm not mad at anybody. You don't hear me denomination bash. I get kind of a kick out of some. Get a bigger kick out of our own. Some of the things we Baptists do is pretty funny. So it is dealer's choice. The important part of that, you've trusted Jesus Christ from the heart, a repentant heart. That's what gets you to heaven. All right, we'll go through this again next week. I like to do this series every 3 or 4 years, and it's kind of important for us to be grounded in just what the book says about baptism. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for that book that we can go to it and dig through it and search it and study it, comparing scripture with scripture and pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom about it. Let us read it distinctly and give the sense of us and sense of it, the context, and then give us understanding about it. We thank you for that. Thank you for everyone who's come out today. Be with the worship service. Lord, fill me today with the power of God, and let that Holy Ghost of God touch my heart and give me unction to preach. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.